Yeah,
right here. Brother Ralph, would you introduce this family to this class, please? These fellows in this family in Pensacola.
Hey, buddy.
Mike Harrod, Joy, and
Kiara.
We all together.
They're from Brother Moore's class in Pensacola.
Mm-hmm. And we have a class on Thursday afternoon at my place. And it's two way over the TV.
Mm-hmm. That's with Roger Truex.
Yeah.
You know Roger.
Everybody's invited to come. It's at 5 o'clock on Thursday.
I'm going to get the address for you. You know, I've never been to your house over there. Now, I knew where you live, side the church over there, but not down on the beach. Never been to
my son lives there.
Okay, anything else? Appreciate the rest of y'all being in the class. It's good to see you. Anybody got a question that you want to deal with? Something on your mind?
Older.
I ain't got too much on mine no more. This, mine's slipping. Okay, if you will, join me in prayer and then we'll see what the Lord has for us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to meet here. We thank you, Lord, for providing the place for us to meet in, and we pray for the business here that you meet their needs to keep the doors open. And Father, we continue to pray for those that are sick. We ask you to especially be with them and to comfort these people as only you can. And Father, we ask you this morning to teach us your word by your spirit and build us up in the faith that we'd be a better witness for thee. And Father, we ask you this morning to get honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, if you don't have a question, you know, I asked that one time and somebody got on to me for not giving them time to come up with a question. Well, if you got a question, you know it. If you ain't, I ain't going to sit here and waste time for you to think about one. So turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about faith. What you got your faith in? What is your faith in this morning, sir?
You asked if anybody had a question. I don't care. Brother Jerry this morning comes over here on his tapes, and he was talking about neither depth nor height nor principalities nor powers nor depth nor height, and he said he really didn't understand what the word depth nor height meant in that verse of scripture. What shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus?
Well, what he's talking about is the kingdom of God. It's about the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of the kingdom of God. In other words, in the new kingdom and all.
Yeah. Well, I heard Brother Moore one time said that it was describing God's universe.
Well, you see, the love of Christ is not what tells us what that is. The love of Christ that passeth knowledge. In other words, our knowledge of God comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we know what the Bible says about because of the love of Christ, and the love of Christ that it constrains us. Like in go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go to 2 Corinthians. We'll get 2 Thessalonians in just a minute. Verse 14. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. In other words, it binds us together. It holds us together. This is the love that we know that Christ had for his body. Like in Ephesians chapter 5, when he said, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for. Well, we know the love, what that is, and it binds us together. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have problems. You understand? We're still going to have problems, but the love of Christ it binds us together. Now, verse 14, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. In other words, we needed a Savior. And the only way we know who our Savior is, or about that Savior, is through the love of Christ for us when he died for us. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. In other words, it doesn't make any difference if you're a Jew or Gentile. Paul has already told those who first trusted in Christ that they're all equal. And there's none good, no not one. He's concluded all in sin, in Romans, he said. In other words, through the love of Christ, we see that Christ, when he died at Calvary, he died for all mankind. And we don't see that in the eyes of man today. You won't listen to me. You won't find that being preached in the churches that use the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You won't find this love there. It's not mentioned there. You can find here where Jesus Christ died for his friends in the book of John. He died for his friends. But when you get over into the books of Romans to Philemon, you'll see that Jesus Christ died for his enemies. In Romans chapter 5, Paul said, while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. In other words, he exhibits that love towards us like we in a family situation should love our wives, our children, and on and on and on. And the lady's job in the home is to teach the young mothers to love their husbands and to love their children. And you know, I used to read that years ago, and I'm talking about years ago, and I said, Lord, I don't understand that. Why would a mom have to teach her daughter to love her children? Now, you want to get yourself in a bad situation, you come up on a wild animal mother that's got little children or whatever you want to call them, little babies, and you start messing with her little babies, you're going to have your hands full. You're going to get in trouble. But you know, we living in a time now when mamas don't love the babies no more. Now, I'm not saying this is all of them. You read over and over and over where some mama has put her kid in the microwave and cooked it. You read over and over and over where some mama has took a child and thrown it in the trash can when it was born. Something's going wrong. You see, this love that God had for us, he had unconditional love for us, just like we are. And we learn that through Paul's epistles, this love that Christ had for us while we were yet enemies. Christ died for us. Now, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 there, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. You see, you can't find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, you can find where they're born again, but being born again is not a new creature. In other words, when Jesus Christ appeared to the Apostle Paul, he gave him a message that nobody else knew anything about. Why he died at Calvary is the message that was committed to the Apostle Paul, and that love of Christ constrains us, it binds us together. And this love here, you can't find it back here, and you won't find it back here in Genesis through Malachi. You'll find back here that God loved those that loved him. You'll find back here that God said, if you do this, I'll do this. If you don't do this, this is going to happen to you. Y'all know the curses in Deuteronomy. If you keep the law, if you keep my statutes and judgments, I'll be good to you and I'll do this and I'll bless you. And if you don't, I'm going to curse you. All these curses came on. Well, beloved, Jesus Christ became a curse for us. You understand? He took all of our curses that belong to us and God Almighty put them on Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Did God reconcile us to himself by Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Does that mean that he saved everybody? No. He didn't say he saved everybody, did he? That's why Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, God's a Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Now, watch what he says here in verse 8 of 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Hold your place and go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Let's start in verse 12. Giving thanks, and in other words, it falls right into these Colossians, people he did not know. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Well, are we already in the kingdom of his dear Son? Well, you can't find that back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You won't find that in Genesis through Malachi. You only find that through the writings of the Apostle Paul, and both groups of people, those who first trusted in Christ, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, all of these together, based on God's foreknowledge before the foundation of the world, when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he died for all their sins, and those that trust that are baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ as new creatures. And when Jesus Christ was resurrected in AD 33, the body was resurrected with him. He did not leave any part of his body behind in AD 33. The new creature that I am in Christ is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. In Christ. In Christ, you got to remember, is a spiritual term. In Christ. Now, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Who hath delivered us, reference to Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And I might mention to you, in verse 14 there, most of your translations leave out through his blood. Now you reckon why they're going to do that? You know, Jesus Christ told those people in John chapter 10, I am the door. No man cometh by any other way. So how is the way now? By the death of Christ. What does your faith in? You see, there are a lot of people putting faith in the messages out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I listened to some of them on TV this morning. I listened to a Pentecostal preacher this morning out of Gulf Breeze, Florida. You know what he told them people? He told them people, if you'll repent and confess your sins, God will be gracious to you, and he'll open the windows of heaven. No, he won't. You know what's going to happen to you? If you claim that for salvation, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to wind up in hell. Salvation is through the gospel of Christ that was committed to Paul. Jesus Christ didn't preach that to the 12 apostles while he was on this earth. He preached the gospel of the kingdom to these people, looking forward to salvation at the second coming. He said, this is my covenant unto them when I'll take away their sins. Well, we look back at Calvary and see that when Christ died, he died for all of our sins. If one died for all, then we're all dead. In other words, without the death of Christ, you're just a dead person. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, based on God's foreknowledge, knowing that you would trust that Jesus Christ, when he was resurrected in AD 33, you were delivered up with him. Galatians chapter 1, that's what it's about. He has delivered us from the wrath to come. Israel will go into the tribulation after the rapture of the church, the body of Christ. There'll be a 7-year tribulation, time of Jacob's trouble, according to Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Jacob will be saved out of it. We're saved from it. Not out of it. We're saved from it. Based on God's foreknowledge, knowing whether you would trust Christ as your Savior or not. Now, in Colossians chapter 1. Now, by the way, I'm going to read verse 14 again because I want to make mention of something to you. Even Jesus Christ didn't use this term. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. When Jesus Christ told them to be baptized, confess their sins, what did he tell them it was for?
Remission.
For remission. Thank you, brother. For remission. Remission is not the same as forgiveness. Forgiveness is gone. God can't never bring it back again. You know why? Do y'all know what? Y'all know one of my favorite verses? Because I got a lot of them. Y'all know Numbers chapter 23, verse 9, what it says? God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said, and will he not make it good? In other words, God said, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and confession is made with the mouth. In other words, if you trust Christ as your Savior, listen to me, beloved. I used to think it was hard to witness. It's easy to witness if you've got a Savior. If you ain't got a Savior, yes, it's hard to witness. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you work around people, you'll bump shoulders with people, it is very easy to tell people how you got saved. It's easy. If you're saved. If you're not saved, it's going to get a little difficult. It's going to get a little hard. Probably step on your tongue a time or two. Look in the context of Colossians chapter 1. We have forgiveness. You know what Jesus Christ said? Remission, not forgiveness. There's a difference. We already are forgiven. We're not looking for forgiveness. I'm already forgiven. Verse 15. Who, that's a reference to his son of verse 13, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. Is it in there? No, and for him. Hold your place here and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? Well, beloved, Paul's asking you a question. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're not your own? Well, who do you belong to? You listen to me. You're either saved or you're lost. If you're saved, you're saved because Jesus Christ died for you and you've trusted that, so now henceforth Old things have passed away. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He purchased you at Calvary. Look at verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Well, what was the price? His death. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in spirit, which are God. Go back to Colossians chapter 1. All the last part of verse 16. All things were created by Him and for Him. In other words, we were created. You see, I get beside myself sometimes. My little old man ain't very big, about like a walnut, and a lot of it's hardened over the years. But I get to thinking about people that don't believe in creation. I go out at night, especially when I was in the Marines. I stayed on a ship for 7 months in the Mediterranean. And at night when it was cool and calm, they'd let us, because them old places where we had to sleep down there, they just crowded, and you get a bunch of old nasty men together and they go stinking and all, you know, and y'all know what I'm talking about. And I'd go up on topside and lay down on the deck and sleep. They'd allow us to do this if it wasn't rough weather. And I'm looking at the stars up there, and I'm thinking, you know, wonder what that thing weighs. Wonder how heavy that thing is. You're talking about the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height of God Almighty. You can't fathom. In the book of Isaiah, His ways are not our ways, and our ways are not His ways, and neither are our thoughts His thoughts. In other words, I can see them stars, but I can't see past that. And they can send a spaceship miles and miles and miles. And there's a spaceship, and I forget how many years that sucker's been traveling, and it ain't got to where it's going yet. And it's still traveling. And God is above all that, and I'm above all that, and that star, let's just say it weighs 1,000 pounds. What's holding that sucker up? Evolution? You gotta be kidding me. All things were created by Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. When God Almighty created this world, He created it to be inhabited. He didn't create the thing void. You see, people have a problem with Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. They don't understand something happened between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, and the thing became void. God did not. He said in Isaiah, I did not create it void. He said, I created it to be inhabited. I talked to a preacher's son. Been to college. Bible college up north of Michigan. He ain't got the foggiest idea anything about Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. Denies any existence of mankind before Adam. Do you know why he denied it? He denied it because there's no record of any man dying before Adam. Where's your faith at? Listen, have I got to see the cross to believe that Jesus Christ hung on a Calvary and died for me? Have I got to see that physically like I'm looking at them books in that book right there? You know how I see it? With my spiritual eyes. My spiritual eyes. That's the way I see God Almighty, is with my spiritual eyes. That's the way I see His Son that died for me, with my spiritual eyes. I don't need to have somebody to show me the cross. I don't need somebody to run around with a crucifix on a stick and show me the cross. I can see it in my mind's eye. Now watch what he says in Colossians, verse 17. And he, a reference to Jesus Christ, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, in the Son, should all fullness dwell. Now here's our verse. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him. Did Jesus Christ reconcile all things to himself? Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me. How did he do that? By the death on the cross. Verse 18. And all things are of God. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath, as past tense, hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now, has all men been reconciled to God? Let me show you something. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Well, I would suspect the ones that don't have faith are the ones he's calling unreasonable and wicked men. What are they doing? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. What are these men doing? Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, now we're talking about the latter times of the dispensation of the grace that we live in. This time here, to those who first trusted in Christ, is over. Paul does not have to go to the Jew first anymore. When Paul first started preaching, he had to go to the Jew first. Acts 13 verse 46, Paul said it was necessary to preach the word to them Jews first. He said it was necessary. Why? Jew first. But not so over here. In the dispensation, and I'm just going to do it like that, dispensation of the grace of God, we do not have to go to the Jew first. Do you know why? God would have all men to be saved, comma, and come unto the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. It's very clear. God would have anybody you meet to be saved out there. How can they be saved? And I think about Brother Moore. And I was walking the other morning, and I was listening to this very tape. He was talking about he'd had a wreck, and he was laying there in the ditch bleeding to death. And this Church of Christ preacher come up to him, and he asked him, he said, what do I need to do to be saved? He said, well, you need to repent. He said, man, I am repenting. He said, I ain't got but a minute to, I'm bleeding to death. And the preacher told him, he said, you need to get baptized. He said, man, I can't. He said, I'm dying. Well, he said, the man told him, said, well, there ain't no hope for you. Now, that ain't that awful? You talking about unreasonable and wicked people. That's an unreasonable and a wicked man that will tell you that there ain't nothing you can do to be saved if you can't get to somebody to baptize you. And by the way, if it's not done by a Church of Christ preacher, it's alien baptism anyhow. We got any Baptists in here?
Yeah. Was. Used
to be. Have you ever changed from one church to another?
Yeah.
What'd you have to do?
Move your letter.
You have to move your letter? What if you didn't have a letter to move? You'd have to get baptized by that preacher in that church, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, if you lost that letter and went to another one, you'd have to do it again, wouldn't you? Unreasonable and wicked men. All men have not faith, beloved. Listen, just because you see a preacher standing in the pulpit and preaching, pay attention to what he says. You know what Luke 16 verse 15 says? Anybody remember what that says? That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. Do you all know the people that preach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are highly esteemed? Highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. You know what God told us? He said those that live in 2 Timothy chapter 2, excuse me, chapter 3, he said those that live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Shall suffer persecution. Shall suffer persecution. You try it sometimes. You get out there in the world that believes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for salvation and believes in Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized for remission of sin. For what? What did Peter tell him? Repent and be baptized for what? For remission. He did not say for forgiveness. Paul said for forgiveness. We have forgiveness of sins, not remission. Forgiveness. Now, in the 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 again. Now the Spirit speaking expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidden to marry, commanded to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now listen to me. Back when I was in grammar school, when I was in high school, when I was in grammar school, we didn't have no cafeteria. You didn't take a sack lunch, you didn't eat. But when I went to high school on Friday, now I'm not in no Catholic school, I'm in a public school, but on Friday they wouldn't serve meat. You could get a piece of fried fish. You know why they did that? Because there were some Catholic kids in that school. And Catholics can't eat meat on Friday. I'm going to ask y'all a question. Maybe y'all can help me. I ain't never figured this one out. How come I can eat meat on Thursday and eat meat on Saturday, but I can't eat meat on Friday? Is it going to make me sick if I eat it on Friday? I never figured that one out. Paul told us here, he said these people that are speaking lies are forbidding people to eat meat. I don't know who y'all listen to, but does a priest tell people they can't eat meat on Friday? Do they still do that, Joseph?
Yep.
Go to Colossians, chapter 2. Listen to me. Paul told those Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10 that he wanted to perfect something that was lacking in their faith. He told them in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 2, all men have not faith. Well, that still applied today. All men don't have faith to believe this book. You know what they say? Well, you know our church don't use that Bible. We can't understand that because we don't speak like thee, thou, and all that. I said, well, God does. I said, it's still proper English for God to talk that way. If you take the we's and the these and the thou's out of it, you don't find these two people here no more. All men don't have faith. Now watch what faith is. Watch this situation in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Let's start in verse 10. And you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. There's the new creature in Christ. You understand? Verse 12, buried with Him in baptism. Ain't got nothing to do with water. It's spiritual baptism. Wherein also you're risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. Now listen, I'm standing right here in this room, the same as y'all are in this room. But you know where I'm at by faith? I'm above all heaven. I'm up yonder where there ain't no astronaut ever dared to think about going and can't go. He can't live long enough to get there. You know that's why they ain't packed up some nut in a rocket somewhere and tried to send him to Mars, because I think they said it'd take about 6 years to get there. Can you imagine a nut getting in a rocket? Say, well, if I don't starve to death, don't nothing happen, I might see you in about 20 years. Not me. But wait a minute. I'm already there. Above all of that. Already there. And I believe that by faith. By faith. I got no other way to show it to you. I remember one time me and my wife was dealing with a friend of ours, Methodist friend. And I'm not getting anywhere with him. And my wife, I'll never forget this, we was in this man's home, and my wife said, well, you know, after a while, you just got to believe by faith. Just got to believe it by faith. I don't know if that man ever figured that out. Evidently, he didn't. Now, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened. That word quickened means made alive. Together when?
With
Him. When was Jesus Christ quickened? AD 33. Quickened from the dead. He's the firstborn from the dead. You, if you are saved, were quickened together with Him. Beloved, I weren't even here in AD 33. I didn't get here till 35. But I was already quickened before I got here. Brother Ralph's 90 years old, and he wasn't there when it happened, but he was already quickened before he was born. 90 years ago. How do I know this? By faith. I mean, I can't look at Brother Ralph, don't look no different. I've seen him years, for years. But in Christ, I don't know him anymore after the flesh. He's a new creature in Christ. So am I.
Before the foundation of the world.
Before the foundation of the world. Ain't that? You know, I was reading Job the other day, and I love that thing there in Job chapter 38. He said, Job, answer me. He said, gird up your loins like a man and answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? Well, I got an answer. I could answer God. I know where I was. You know where I was when God laid the foundation of the world? And by the way, what's the foundation laid on?
Jesus Christ.
I got a globe at the house. It's sitting on a foundation. I take that globe off of that foundation and it don't stay there. Y'all got any idea how heavy this earth is? You people in here that deal with computers, y'all ever try to figure out how heavy the earth is? And the more I eat, the fatter I'm getting, and the heavier I'm getting, and I'm adding weight to the earth, and that sucker don't move nigh one bit. On what is the foundation? I believe the foundation is faith. I believe God Almighty said, this is your orbit, you do this and do that, and that's exactly where you will be until the day I destroy you with fire. These scientists here a while back, they was talking about some kind of meteor that's going to hit this earth someday. They don't know where it's going to hit it, and they think it's going to move it, and you know, hit it so hard it moves. I don't believe it's going to phase it a bit, do y'all? God Almighty said, this is it, you stay right there, and you do this and do that, and you every 24 hours you circle around, and we'll have nighttime here and daytime here, and it's been doing it ever since God created it. But you know what's fascinating to me? I was there before God did all of that. I was in the mind of God and in the thoughts of Jesus Christ and God the Father. When he died at Calvary, he died for me, and I was in Christ before the foundation of the world, based on God's foreknowledge, knowing that I would trust Christ as my personal Savior, believing that he died for me. Now, watch what he says here, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, you being dead in your sins, uncircumcised in your flesh, hath, past tense, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Y'all know the opposite of that? Y'all know what the opposite of that is? Having forgiven you all trespasses? Hold your place here and go to Matthew chapter 6. Now, listen to me. If you get your doctrine out of the book of Matthew, or a preacher preaches out of the book of Matthew, he's got to believe every word of it, not just part of it. He can't go through there and say, well, I like this verse. Well, I don't know what to do with that one. I can't handle that one. He'll go through there and he'll pick up Matthew chapter 5 and he'll say verse 5 there, the meek shall inherit the earth. Well, I'm not going to inherit the earth. That ain't mine. It belongs to Israel. The land belongs to Israel, God's chosen people. We are spiritual people. We are members of his body. You understand? Now, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Go back to Colossians chapter 2. Now, this is contrary to what Paul said. Now, what you got your faith in? You got your faith in somebody that'll rightly divide the word of truth, or you got your faith in a preacher because he's real smart and he uses real good vocabulary and he don't shout and holler and get mad and upset and forget what he's doing like I do? You going to put your faith in him? Now, watch what he says here, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins, uncircumcised your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. You know, I love that word contrary there. You know why? It lets me know that I'm over here on this side of the fence over here, if you let me use that, this. When Paul said, rightly divide the word of truth, I'm over here. The law wasn't contrary to those who first trusted in Christ. Were they? Well, it wasn't contrary to them. But the law was contrary to us. Look what he did. And took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Well, he nailed the law to the cross, but he didn't make known that until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. He didn't tell these people back here, don't keep the law. Matthew 19, Luke 18, he told that rich man, he said, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. He didn't tell us that. He said they're done away with. They were nailed to the cross. Verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat. Them, listen, beloved, Catholics are being judged every time they refuse to eat meat on Friday. They're letting some...
Stop.
They're letting some body, I'd better use that term, judge them in meat. Did y'all know that Paul said he would eat no meat as long as his brother was alive if it offended him? Y'all know Paul let people judge him in meat one time? Y'all do know there's a difference in Paul's epistles, don't you? That's why he said rightly divide the word of truth. Look at the verse here. I just lost my mind. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's do it there. Hold Colossians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1. We'll pick up the context. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that all have knowledge, and knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. Now he's talking about meats that's been offered to idols now. In verse 8, but meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. In other words, if it causes somebody to stumble, Paul talking about he won't eat it. Look verse 12. But when you sin so against the brethren, you wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no meat while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Is Paul allowing somebody to judge him in not eating meat?
Yeah.
Well, go over to Colossians. That ain't what he told me and you. He told me and you that's contrary to us. Why? Because God has cleansed all things and is received by prayer and thanksgiving. If you thank the Lord for it, eat it. It don't make no difference if it's Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday. You know why? Every day belongs to the Lord. They all did. Not just one day a week. We are bought with a price. The price that bought me on Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Friday, whatever day it is. It don't make no difference. I belong to the Lord. And the Lord said, if you want to eat that meat, have at it. Now, like what he says here. Verse 16, Colossians 2:16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day. Is this the Sabbath day? Y'all know what Sabbath is?
Seven.
It's seven. Is this the seventh day of the week? Look at that calendar over yonder, and I believe it says it's the first day of the week. Well, wait a minute. Who is the Sabbath for? Let me show you, being asked. Go to hold your place and go to Exodus. Go to Exodus. Let's just ask the Lord. Chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. Verse 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath you shall keep, for it, the Sabbath, is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doeth sanctify you. Verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Well, are we under the order of the Sabbath day?
Yeah.
You know, I know a friend of mine dead now. He loved to fish. Him and his wife fished all the time. He would not dare fish on Sunday. He wouldn't. That's a hypocritical Baptist. I'm sorry about that. Go back to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. Man, ain't that something? Which are a shadow of things to come. You know, I expect when we get into the kingdom, we're going to see back how foolish and how we've just squandered away in God's word. And we thought we knew this, and we thought we knew that. We don't know nothing like we're going to know someday. When we get to heaven, you know, it ain't going to be like I heard me and Russell back there. We even heard part of Benny Hinn. No, it wasn't Benny Hinn. Was it Benny Hinn? Who was it that went to heaven? Oh, Jesse Duplantis. And I told Russell, if it wouldn't be supporting Jesse Duplantis' ministry, I was sent off and bought that tape. I'd like to heard the whole story. He was talking about how he went to heaven, and the Lord took him up there to heaven, and he's walking along there in the flower beds there with all these pretty flowers and all around him. And he said, I can't walk through these. He said, oh, come on, it won't hurt him. He said, I walked through them flowers and they didn't bother him or nothing. He said, you know, I met old Paul up yonder, and he said, old Paul's still calling it my gospel. Well, beloved, Paul had a gospel. He named it 3 times. Romans 2:16, Romans 16:25, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. He said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Listen, you either follow the Apostle Paul, you have faith to believe that God Almighty said that Paul is your apostle, and Paul has the words of salvation today for anybody that'll trust Christ as their personal Savior. And outside of that, you can believe anything you want out of the Bible, but it will not save you. It will damn your soul to eternal hell. Paul had the words, and he called them wholesome words in 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. The wholesome words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he ain't talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's talking about the words that were committed unto him, that he died for men's sins. That God, have you ever figured out how God was in Christ? When Jesus Christ hanged at Calvary, the Bible says God was in Christ. Y'all know what John 4:24 says? God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God don't want your fleshly worship. You know why? Your flesh is spirit. My flesh is sore and yours ain't. My flesh is sore and rotten, and it's going to go right back to the dust that it came from. But you know what? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 38, I have a new body, and God's going to give me that body someday. And it's a body like unto his glorious body, and I ain't got the foggiest idea what it looks like.
Okay.
I'm waiting on the day to get it. I'm getting a little closer all the time. Getting closer. But you know what my prayer is? The rapture take place. Get us out of this stinking, rotten listen, I don't know if y'all, I don't pay no time. There's two things I do in the newspaper. The very first thing I do, and I don't care if it's Saturday, Sunday, what paper, the first thing I do is read the obituary. And if I ain't in there, I'll get on it about my business. The next thing I do is the cryptocrypt. I love to do the cryptocrypt. I don't know if y'all know what that is. Do y'all do the cryptocrypt? I love to do the cryptocrypt. Every now and then that thing stumbles me, but I walk off from it, come back, and it just works right out. But that's the only thing I do in the paper. You know why? All that's in the paper is about the evil that's going on. And I know it's going to go on. And I know it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Why sit and read and mope around about it? Get on. Listen, you're bought with a price. The Lord Jesus Christ owns you. Get out and do something for the Lord. You know what you're going to take with you to heaven? Only what you do for the Lord is going to go with you. The only thing that you're going to be rewarded for is not how good you lived in the flesh. God don't want your flesh. Paul said in Philippians that we are the circumcision, we worship God in the spirit and put no confidence in the flesh. Don't put no confidence in my flesh. I'm human just like you are. I love to turn on you like a rattlesnake will. I mean, I'm human. I know me. That's how I know you. Meet you on the highway out there. I think about old fat boy out in San Antonio.
Hagee
said he was going down the road out there and said he traffic was backed up. He was snatching the wheel and grinding the gears and gritting his teeth and carrying on and running off at the mouth. And he looked over there and somebody was waving at him. He said, it's one of my people out of my church. And he said, I felt like going through the cushion in the seat. That's the way I am. Don't meet me on the highway out there. And so, you know, I saw a fellow. I know I saw but you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ died for me and he died for you.
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I appreciate you being here this morning. Good to see you. Good to be here with us.